T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 3 o'clock hour. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford in for Hawk and Crowder. Alex Solano with us as well. We're taking you up until 6 o'clock. Hope everybody is having a great day. Had a great weekend as well. The long weekend for some of you was filled with all sorts of sports. It was great if you were paying attention to everything. Troy, it's fun to be back on the air with you. You and I go back a ways, and one Correct. Of the things that you've always been known for are your predictions. And a little bit later on, we are going to review.
We don't have to do that.
Well, we're going to do that. I mean, I think it's worth our time.
My predictions are coming up, like football season is coming up.
Oh, those are like the serious predictions?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a little bit later, we're going to get to your free agency predictions, because you were nice enough to join me and provide those a little before free agency began. But this segment, at least, and maybe depending on how the conversation goes, we can spend some time on it this hour. I wanted to revisit something that took place 9 years ago, And it was 9 years ago today. A lot of people, if you follow social media, you probably have already seen this, but it was July 8th, 2010. Wow. The decision by LeBron James was broadcast on ESPN. It was to benefit the Boys and Girls Club. Jim Gray was there asking him all of the vital questions. There was all this buildup to it. And it is one of those moments in recent sports history. Certainly for South Florida sports history, it was a landmark moment. But for just in general, the bigger picture, we look back at that, and it was a huge deal that LeBron was leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers. But also, it became an example of what not to do in terms True. Of announcing your free agency decision. Just to go back and revisit it and to jog everyone's memory, this is what it sounded like on ESPN 9 years ago.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Why?
Like I said before, I feel like it's going to give me the best opportunity to win and to win for multiple years. And not only just to win in the regular season or just to win 5 games in a row or 3 games in a row. I want to be able to win championships.
He was pretty right.
Well, it also, I don't know how it is for you, that's even more cringeworthy than I remembered it, too. Going back
Where
and listening
were they?
To it.
They had a crowd.
It was at a boy,
it was at the Boys and
Boys
Girls
Club in Connecticut, right?
In Connecticut.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was pretty quiet once he announced.
Right, there was no reaction.
Where were
really.
You?
Well, yeah, that's one of those things. Like, don't you feel like that among other sports moments, or certainly we can apply it to everyday life or big moments in news, not just related to sports, but that's one of those moments where I will always remember where I was. Do you the same way?
I absolutely remember where I was, what I was doing. Actually, though, it's funny how you say that. It was like that's one of the most memorable sports moments. Like, you remember where you are. But it wasn't taking place in a game.
No.
That's the funny thing about it.
You're right. It wasn't
was off the court.
A moment
off
on the field, on the court. It wasn't anything like that. This was LeBron James deciding where he was going to play his basketball for the next 4 years. You know where I was?
Where?
I was on a family vacation. I had flown.
Likens, like when things happen, you're with the family all the time. I know you're a family man.
What else happened that I was
Thanksgiving,
with the family?
You're supposed to be with the family and all
of
that.
Well, no, I had flown to the Northwest, and I was actually on a cruise ship in Alaska.
Did they have the television on?
They did. They had TVs in the rooms. That you don't get too many channels, but we got ESPN. And so it was interesting in a few different ways. One, because of the time difference. So, you know, we're like, I remember we're kind of like getting ready for the night. And if people have been on cruises before, not a lot of people in South Florida have, usually, you know, around the Caribbean, because it's so easy to access that, you know, you got the set times you're going to eat and everything. And then there's activities at night. So we're all kind of getting dressed up, getting ready to go. But, you know, I told my parents and my sister, we're like, hey, we're going to sit down and watch the decision before we do anything. And there had been the report earlier in the day by Stephen A. Smith. That was the first time we had gotten any word that the Heat were under, you know, serious consideration. So you knew that was a possibility. But I don't know if, like anybody else out there, if you felt the same way as I did. I was like, I have to actually hear it from him to believe it.
Miami was in a state of buzz. There was energy down here in Miami, the way I remember it. And I remember, never before ever do I remember myself saying, I got to go to a sports bar. Like, I could have watched this at home. I went with friends to a sports bar, Miami Prime. I can say the name now because it's out of business now. Miami Prime, but it was a happening good go-to place. QAM used to do live broadcasts from there.
I remember that place, yeah.
And so I went to Miami Prime, and that bar, because I don't know what day this was, a Tuesday or Wednesday, that place was absolutely packed like it was a playoff game. And when he said what he just said, what you just heard, that place erupted like never before, like any other game that I watched there. Never been in an atmosphere that I was that night at that bar. It was absolutely incredible.
I wish I was in town, because I would have loved to have been around that energy.
It was special.
And that buzz. And then, of course, it was a couple of days later that they had the introduction in front of all of American Airlines Arena, where they have the pep rally and everything. And you're right, they're not one, not two, not three, yeah, not four.
Yeah.
It's just, and at that moment, I think at that moment, if it wasn't during the decision, but at that moment is when they became public enemy number one outside of South Florida.
Yes.
Yeah. Solano, what were you doing? How did you experience the decision?
He was going to lunch in high school.
Nah, I was in high school. I was a sophomore in high school. I was just sitting on my couch with my brother, and I remember my brother's roommate had a LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers jersey, and he's a massive Bulls fan. And when he found out that, we all watched it together.
Wait, hold on. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
Your brother's a massive Bulls fan?
No. My brother's roommate at the time is a massive Bulls fan, still is. But he had bought a LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers jersey at 23 when LeBron was drafted because he thought he'd be the next Jordan. So he just bought a Cavs jersey. A lot of people do that. A lot of people have different jerseys.
I know. It was funny how you set that up. He's a huge Bulls fan, but he had a LeBron Cavs jersey.
When he found out LeBron was joining the Miami Heat, he got a knife and he cut the jersey right down the middle. I have a picture of it. I'll show it to you in the break. Cut it right down the middle.
Never would I do that.
And I was going insane. Jersey. Like I have my Facebook memories on right now. The things I was typing on Facebook at 14, 15 years old, I never should have been writing in the first place. I'm going to have to delete them. I was the cockiest Heat fan of all time when that came out. Like the cockiest Heat fan of all
time. And you're not now?
Oh, no. The cockiness is still there.
Oh.
But it's tough when you know your title chances aren't exactly at its peak. But back when LeBron said he's coming to South Beach, like, there has never been a cockier Heat fan in the history of cocky Heat fans.
Wow. I said, first of all, he needs to find out where he's going, because Miami Heat not in South Beach. You know, me not being a Heat fan at the time.
But
I'm a Heat fan, but another fan above the Heat.
I got to let you know something, Solana, that Troy has made his mark for various reasons, but oftentimes since the Big Three era was occurring and beyond that, just ripping the obnoxious Heat fans.
Like
you can't stand them. Like you can't stand the Alex Solanas of the world.
Absolutely cannot stand them.
And we love that. Like we love that people can't stand cocky
Heat
fans.
It's why they were crying like babies when LeBron left.
We weren't crying like babies.
Oh, yes, you
left.
Were.
No, no, we
you
weren't crying.
Were, you had a jersey and you had a knife and you cut your jersey up right then.
Oh, no, I didn't. Actually, I did pack those jerseys away. Those number 6 LeBron jerseys for the Miami Heat were never once touched by me ever again. Packed them away. Didn't throw them out. Didn't burn them. I didn't boo LeBron when he came back. I didn't give him a standing ovation, though. I didn't applaud him. And the reason why, not because he left, Troy, but because disrespected the Godfather on the way out, did everything in his power to make sure the Miami Heat would not be able to get any other free agents after he left.
And that's another thing that pisses me off. I give Pat Riley all the respect on the planet. Phenomenal job. Just did a tremendous job for the Miami Heat. But Pat Riley left the New York Knicks just like LeBron left. Matter of fact, he left the Knicks when he was supposed to build the Knicks via fax.
He didn't
even call the brass with the Knicks. He just up and left and went to the Miami Heat.
Right, but he didn't.
So I have a little history there also.
Like, he didn't handicap the New York Knicks. Like, they still had their team.
It's been garbage ever since.
They still had their team. They still had their players. LeBron James purposely waited until all the other free agents were taken, then made his decision so that the Miami Heat would be in the worst possible free agency situation.
Let's put this in perspective.
But let's put this in perspective.
That's not speculation. That's
so
fact.
The 2010 free agency was clearly pre-commonplace tampering, because like tampering is prevalent now to the point where, let's see, a week ago Sunday, 6 o'clock on the dot is when free agency began and when the legal tampering period began. And it was at like 6:02 that you have Adrian Wojnarowski and these other insiders reporting deals that were already done.
Yes.
So like within minutes of the players legally being allowed to meet with the teams, they're already signing lucrative contracts. So the whole thing, that part is a joke. It doesn't bother me. I just think it's a joke that the rules are in place, because everybody knows people are talking, the agents are talking and all that. But to give you an idea, going back, I mean, it's July 8th. So it was July 8th that LeBron made his original decision to come to Miami. So he waited a week before he made his decision. Whereas now, like, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving made their decision at 6 o'clock. The first minute available to go somewhere, LeBron James waited a week. And then to Solana's point,
oh, there you go. 2014, go ahead, call him out, Likens. Call him out.
I'm calling you out on this one.
I'm thinking you're calling him out.
July 11th is when LeBron made it clear and let everybody know via the letter on Sports Illustrated's website that he was going back to Cleveland and not going to stay in Miami. He waited until July 11th,
ten days later. I'm seeing this differently.
Here's what happened. The Heat, the Cavs, and everybody else who thought they were even remotely close to signing LeBron James or in the game, they all waited. Nobody did anything. Everything was on hold. The standstill. The league stood still. So guess what? Then other players were signing with other teams and coming off the market. And then when LeBron James finally made his decision, all those teams that didn't get LeBron James, they're stuck.
That's what Solana was saying.
And that was their only option.
That's what Solana was saying that LeBron James did to the Miami Heat when he left. Well, I'm saying that LeBron James did that to the Cleveland Cavaliers and all the other teams when he left Cleveland. If you're telling me he waited a week, that means he put a holding pattern on all of these teams. So Solano's up in arms about him doing that to the Miami Heat. He did it to the Cleveland Cavaliers and all the other teams that were in the running.
Not really, because in 2010,
it was different.
9 years ago, because like Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, a bunch of the other free agents still hadn't made their decision. LeBron was kind of the first big domino to fall, and then from there everybody else made their decision. So the entire NBA was on hold. But in 2014, a bunch of moves had already been made, and then the Heat are sitting back like, well, we're not going to make any moves if we still have a chance to get the best player in the world to return. And at that juncture, the Heat's only route after LeBron decided to go to Cleveland was just to re-sign Chris Bosh. But they had no other options because he waited so long. They could have hypothetically reached out to other players and built a roster post-LeBron, but LeBron's like, hey, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going back to Cleveland. I'm not even giving you a heads up, and I'm going to go and announce it via letter. And guess what? Not even say thank you to the fans that everybody supported.
Thank you to the fans,
because I'm not the diehard Heat fan. I don't see it that way.
But you don't have to be a diehard Heat fan.
Yes,
to
you
notice.
Do, because you're seeing it through a certain lens. And we're talking about the time it took LeBron James to announce that he was going back to Cleveland. He didn't communicate with the Miami Heat or the Godfather, Pat Riley, at all. So here you are, you like this girl, and you're chasing her. You went out on one date. And now you done text her like 5 days in a row. You've been calling her and you're getting no response back. Hello? She's not interested.
No, but that's not
LeBron
what happened.
LeBron James, because you guys talk about
that's not what happened.
He ignored Pat Riley, didn't give him the meeting.
No. On the contrary, he did give Pat Riley the meeting. He misled Pat Riley, had him fly out to Las Vegas, disrespected him, won't even turn off a World Cup game that his buddies were watching. So
Look at the stories you guys have.
Yeah, he wasn't even paying attention to Riley. He was watching the World Cup match.
The World Cup
is pretty big.
Right, but not during a free agency meeting. Had LeBron James. Troy, had LeBron James on the first day of free agency. He had his mind made up, clearly, right? Because he leaves the first day of free agency with James Jones, who ends up being a Cleveland Cavalier, to, I believe it was the Bahamas. Had he come out on the first day of free agency, told Pat Riley and the Miami Heat privately, look,
these are my options.
Troy, how can you say he didn't know?
Well, you're sitting there saying he knew, then the Heat should have known. And they shouldn't have waited around.
The Heat couldn't have known because he was purposely misleading them to believe he would re-sign or that they had an opportunity to re-sign him when in reality what he was doing
purposely.
Troy, you're making it sound
like you're a Heat fan, you're seeing it different. Purposely holding the Heat hostage. No, if he was coming back to the Heat, he would have announced it day one, right away.
But that's,
and if you're a Heat fan
that's
or
not true, no, because he had Riley come out for a pitch meeting, the whole deal.
A pitch meeting? He just won championships with the Heat. This is where he's played. He doesn't need a pitch to come back to the Heat culture.
Well, he would need a pitch because Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh both were under the same contractual obligations as him. They all could opt out at the same time.
So I think you guys are reading too deep into it.
No, I'm telling you, this is what happened.
I think you're a little out of touch with what actually happened.
I just think that the writing was on the wall in that situation.
Well, that's looking at it from recency bias. We know what happened, but back when that was happening, right, when we had those 8-9 days of waiting for LeBron's decision, like, people weren't so certain he was going back to Cleveland. Most people believed he was actually coming back to Miami because he met with Pat Riley, because it wasn't until the moving trucks were outside LeBron James's house when people started to speculate, okay, like, Cleveland's an actual possibility. Like, I'm telling you, not from a Heat fan's perspective, from just an NBA fan's perspective, what LeBron James did, by the way, some people would say a great business decision. He purposely misled the Heat so that they
don't see it that way.
They would not have a chance to build a contender
and
against
get who? Him. Who else was out there?
There were tons of players still out there, Troy. There were, that free agency was huge. 2014
I
was huge.
I don't think that LeBron was,
why don't we do this?
That.
Let's take a timeout. We'll come back, continue the conversation. Plus, I mean, we got a bunch of people who are now mad at you on the text line. But
people listening.
Yes, we do. I was also hoping that we could hear from everybody's shared experiences with how they learned about the decision. Right, where they were, all of that. But this is now devolved into let's rip LeBron after he left, and you taking the side of LeBron James here. This is unbelievable. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. I'll let you continue to defend your point. That's next here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford. Alex Solano with us as well. My goodness, is everybody fired up today on the text line? Kendall Toyota,
West
Coast
Toyota
text line, 560-22. People are up in arms about everything LeBron James now. See, this is what I was attempting to do, Troy. You know, we talked about it before the show. It's like, hey, let's have some fun. Today is the 9-year anniversary of LeBron and the original decision, the television event that Jim Gray was a part of, in which he declared he was going to take his talents to South Beach, which, you know, geographically inaccurate, but we understand where he was coming from. We didn't really care at the time. We just knew he was coming to Miami. That's all that everybody really, really cared about. Although I will say that I think that became a pet peeve of everybody who lives down here, because then moving forward, all of the national announcers, when they'd call Heat games, like, here we are in South Beach, and all this is like, not really, but there's not enough room to build an arena on South Beach. But, you know, that's a minor detail. But the bottom line is, I thought that we could all have some fun reliving a great moment in South Florida sports history, and this has quickly devolved into you and Solana especially going back and forth about the way LeBron James left Miami. This was the anniversary of him declaring that he was going to be a member of the Miami Heat.
I thought it was a phenomenal night.
And now we're talking about him leaving 4 years later.
Because we have a disgruntled Heat fan in the house that's still upset that LeBron left.
Well, I will say this.
And you can't argue with those people or have a discussion with those type of fans.
There were a lot of people on the text line that are agreeing with Solana.
Of course. They're Heat fans.
But you don't have to be a Heat fan to know the way things played out and to see it rationally. Like, I just don't think you remember exactly how this played out, which is all I'm saying. Like, maybe it's been 5 years removed. Right, but like you didn't remember Pat Riley going to the meeting in Vegas. You didn't remember,
Pat Riley calling LeBron James out at the end of the season. I remember that.
Can
I read a little sampling of this here? Because
yes.
Somebody here says, I never agree with Solana on this show, but he's 100% accurate. Okay. Now, somebody else says, as a Boston Celtics fan, I clearly saw LeBron strategically hold out, so the Miami Heat were left with no options.
Would he want to do that?
Every team he leaves is in disarray after, and it's part of his plan. This guy, Troy, has no clue what he's talking about. He is off.
Would he need to do that? At the time,
To make it easier.
Let me give my side,
okay?
At the time, LeBron James just won 2 championships. He had lost that year, but just has 2 championships.
You may or may not have predicted that he was going to lose.
Oh, I won those. I had those right. LeBron James was the baddest thing on the planet. LeBron James, everyone wanted to play with LeBron James. LeBron James was not afraid that the Miami Heat were going to build something. Now, if you want to say he was just sticking it to Pat Riley, I'll give you a little bit there. But the Heat should have seen the writing on the wall. This guy's not coming back here. We are the Miami Heat. We have been his home for the last 6 years.
4 years.
We don't need to sell ourselves to LeBron James. This is home. $1 million-plus crib down there in the Gables. Kids going to school here. Loves it here. Rode his bike every day to games. Beautiful weather. There was no pitch needed. And so when LeBron James on day one or day two did not make his decision to come down here to the Heat, shame on you Heat fans for waiting around. Just let it sink in. All you people on text and all
shame
that.
Shame on the Heat for LeBron James.
Let me ask you this, because I understand what you're describing is LeBron James' familiarity with the Heat organization, the lifestyle, everything about playing for the Miami Heat and what comes with that. That's what you're describing, the familiarity there. They shouldn't have needed to have a pitch and all that stuff. So let's fast forward it to what we just experienced over the last week or so.
Okay.
And Kawhi Leonard is a free agent.
And hats off to the Canadian fans.
But the Toronto Raptors gave a pitch meeting. Should they not have? Should they said, hey, we have nothing left to tell you?
Had to give a pitch meeting there.
Here's the other part.
Go ahead.
Not just with the Raptors, but then how about with the Lakers? So the Lakers, they hypothetically, with $32+ million.
They saw the writing on the wall.
No, listen. They could have, at the very start of free agency, said, you know what? We don't think we have much of a chance at Kawhi Leonard, so we're going to sign the best free agents that are available that, you know, maybe two or three that can fill that those roster spots, and we can have a well-rounded team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis as the showcase players. Instead, they wait 6 days only to be turned down at the altar, and then they have to say, like, oh, Danny Green and Rondo's running it back, JaVale McGee.
They thought they were really in the running. And
but shouldn't they have seen the writing on the wall?
No. And their chip,
what about the Raptors?
Their chip is, I'll give you the Raptors in a second. Their chip was, they just signed Anthony Davis, so they weren't in dire straits. Like, okay, Kawhi would have been super nice. Maybe too much. Maybe too much. I'm kind of happy that he chose to go a different direction, because he would have pissed us all off. We would have been, it would have been talk about, like, when LeBron came here to play with D. Wade and Bosh.
Right.
And the talk would have been like that.
Went to the Warriors.
But the way that it has turned out, everyone's kind of happy. Everyone's looking forward to the season to see what's going to happen. When it comes to the Raptors, they had to give another pitch because he was on a one-year rental. When LeBron James came here, he already put in, like you said, 4 years. He was part of the community down here, everything. In Toronto, can we keep you? Like, they knew they were just renting him. Matter of fact, everyone was like, would you rent him for a year knowing that he's probably going to leave? And the consensus overall was, no, we're not going to waste it. So I think that Toronto had to try and sell themselves again. I really do.
I think they needed to sell themselves again. I guess my point, though, if we're applying the same rationale, is you could criticize the Lakers. Like, you're saying that he should have moved on, but it's like, it doesn't matter which team you are or the circumstance. If you have a chance to get the best player in the world,
yes,
even a limited chance at that, depending on how you interpret, you have to wait for that guy.
So in that case, if you had to wait no matter what, then it's not LeBron James sticking it to the Miami Heat.
Yes, it is.
He has to make his decision.
Yes, it is, because LeBron James waiting 10 days to do so, other free agents came off the board, and the Heat, if they had known that he wasn't going to play in Miami anymore, they could have then moved on to the next option.
And you guys are assuming that LeBron James knew 10 days earlier that he was leaving the Miami Heat and he was going back to Cleveland. And unless you can prove that to me, unless LeBron James writes that in, did LeBron say it?
Did you read his letter when he announced he was going back to Cleveland?
No. I don't care.
Did
I read his letter? No.
Troy, he put out a letter.
I thought everybody read
the
letter.
He's going back home.
Troy, but hold on. If you didn't read the letter.
We got to move on. Like,
you know what stood out to me the most? I'll let you go on, Slotter, but what stood out to me the most is he gave a shout out to Deion Waiters in that letter.
And, he did.
You know, a few years later, he's on the Heat. That is something heartwarming.
Troy, he had a letter ready to go, and he just dropped it on any given moment. Like, the letter was ready to go. This wasn't a letter he wrote at 3:53, and he decided he's going to put it out. Like, this was a well-thought-out, well-written letter that he had somebody else write for him, by the way, which is fine. I'm not indicting him on that, but just saying he had somebody else write it for him, which means he had to get together with somebody else. So he had foresight into a letter.
What, it doesn't take a day to put a letter together?
Come on, Troy. Like, this wasn't a handwritten
People
letter.
People are all over you, Troy.
Heat fans are sour about it.
But it's not that we're sour that he let. Like, I truly believe that this is
the
where...
The man brought you championships.
Yes, and
the
and
man
he
came
loved.
To you by spurning his hometown.
The
guy left you guys, and whether he stuck it to you or not, just deal with it. Like, say, hey, we appreciate...
That's fine. That's a totally fine.
Do what the Toronto Raptors fans are doing right now, because I've been hearing them on national radio.
Troy,
and they're all
on.
Saying, thank you, Kawhi.
It's unfair what you're doing right now, because here's what you're doing. No, seriously, here's what you're doing. You're saying, if he did stick it to us then Heat fans should just get over it.
You should!
But hold on a second. When LeBron James played his first game back in Miami, how was he perceived?
I don't know. There was a mixture.
Standing ovation. I was there. Standing.
I'm sure you were.
Ovation for LeBron James.
The Heat fans were classy about it.
So I don't get. Like, right. I don't get what you're
and
doing.
And they still
there.
Should be classy about it. Like,
but they are.
How many years ago was this?
Right. They are. Nobody's killing LeBron James for this anymore. All I'm telling you is, Greg and I are just trying to point out, like, how this went about, and you're. totally just throwing it out as saying, oh, it's just Heat fans being irrational, when it's not. Like, this is what happened.
Dude waited 10 days. He brought Pat Riley out to Las Vegas and didn't even pay attention to him in the meeting. He also, a bunch of texters pointed this. I can't identify one because there's been so many that have brought this up.
You guys have called me stupid all you want.
He basically forced the Miami Heat to draft Shabazz Napier, and then he left town.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Like,
I do.
What a clown show.
He was trying to set up the organization. I like this guy. God. You really should draft him. What, you think he gave him a dud?
Can I give you the list of free agents?
You seen a guy playing the NBA?
Can I give you a list of free agents, Greg, just because Troy asked for it in the previous segment?
Okay. I really don't need this.
Other than LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, because, of course, we know all
three of
those
are free agents.
Oh,
there was someone else in the league at the time? Outside
of
San Antonio?
You ready for this? Carmelo Anthony, Eric Bledsoe, Gordon Hayward, Pau Gasol, Trevor Ariza, Paul Pierce, Dirk Nowitzki. That's just scratching the top of this. Like, I'm telling you.
You only gave me two names that I would take on my team.
Well, this is 5 years ago.
I'm talking about at the time.
Troy, pairing a
Not one of those guys that you mentioned outside of Dirk. I think he won one. Not one of them has won anything.
But Troy, you're missing the point. You could have paired Eric Bledsoe, Pau Gasol, Trevor Ariza, some of these guys with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
You get Carmelo and Heat culture? Are you kidding me?
And instead, Danny Granger and Josh McRoberts because it was the only players left. It's not because they wanted Danny Granger and Josh McRoberts.
4 years earlier, you got everything. You went grocery shopping and you got everything.
That's not the discussion.
But here's the deal. It does not take away from the fact that LeBron James hosed the Miami Heat on his way out. Like, the LeBron, like, I am still clearly on the side of we should all be thankful that LeBron James came down here. The four best years of South Florida sports history, in my opinion. And, you know, some Dolphins fans may disagree from the early 70s. But bottom line is, you had just the... Really, you're the epicenter of the basketball world. In many ways, you're the epicenter of the sports world with LeBron here for those 4 years. And it was something that we'll never be able to experience again. It was awesome. At the same time, I don't begrudge him for choosing to go play somewhere else and choosing to go play for his hometown. It's just the way he went about it leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. Not just because they're bitter about being fans, but because he didn't do right by Pat Riley and the Heat organization.
I will give the analogy once again. You get the girl by stealing her from a man. Some man is going to steal her from you. Simple as that. Like, you were happy when you stole her from Cleveland. Same way you get him. You should have been expecting, hey, we're going to lose him the same way or very similar to how we got him one day. Like, that's how life works. You get what you reap what you sow.
We got a lot of people calling you some bad names on the text line.
They call me bad names all they want.
People saying you just need to give it up.
Okay. Go steal someone's girlfriend and see how she leaves you in 3 more years from now. And then you think about this whole situation.
All right. Maybe we should get back to Russell Westbrook. I feel like, you know, this right now. Now, I will say,
I'm not going to make a prediction on that one.
We got a lot of people who are galvanized by... ripping you, Troy. You're taking on this role pretty well.
There has to be one person that says, I get what Troy is saying. Well, it has to be one. Look at the look on your face and you're like, I don't see one, Troy.
Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll revisit something next here on QAM. Radio.com.
Quick story about this song right here.
Please
do. You know who this is?
I do not.
New Edition. Right, Solano?
Yep.
New Edition. At the time, I was playing football in Boston College. And I remember going to, like, the mall with maybe, like, a whopping $30 in my pocket buying Christmas gifts. And here I go seeing all of the guys in New Edition.
At the mall?
At the mall, because that's where they were from. They have all of these bags, like all of them carrying 6, 7, 8 bags, because they were like the hottest group on the planet at that time. Not on the planet, but you know what I'm talking about. And you talk about like just being dejected around Christmas time, they kind of like dampen my spirits. But the kicker to the whole story, if you go back and watch that video, and I know Solano's going to pull it up now.
He looks like he's anxious to do that after just arguing with you about LeBron.
That was my girlfriend that was the lead girl in that video.
Wait, what?
I was cruising down Jersey Beach with my buddy. I Rock Camaro, his, not mine. T-tops, and we're cruising. And this girl comes walking, like, crossing the street. And I'm like, whoa! Like, who was that? And end up pulling over, ended up being her. We ended up dating for a little bit.
Now, did you meet her before or after the video?
I met her. When did the video come out? Good question. I don't remember that.
So you were dating a video vixen.
Yeah, that was kind of normal, but that was my little claim to fame back then.
1984 is when the video came out.
Yeah.
But you don't remember if you met her before or after she was in the video?
I'm going to say after.
Was it the girl in the pink in the video?
Yes, Janet.
I see you, Troy.
There's her name.
I see you, Troy.
I got to look this up. Too bad the Wi-Fi
I mean,
is
back
now.
Then. Remember, that was, what, 84?
84.
Yeah. Look a lot different than the girls now, well, her age at the time. But, yeah, she was smoking at the time. Yeah. She was, like, big to do.
She literally made you pull over, stop
your
tracks.
She stopped traffic.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you, Troy. I got to see. During the commercial break, I'm going to come in there, Solana, and check out this video.
Now, I'll tell you the other side of that. Off air.
Well, this doesn't harken back to the analogy you just used last segment about LeBron James and if you steal a girl.
No, I didn't steal her. I did not steal her. No.
Nothing like that. Speaking of LeBron.
Yes.
You have told me off the air many times that before he made his decision.
Yes.
That you had actually gotten a heads up on that, but that you didn't have enough. I mean, I don't blame you, but like you just didn't have enough substantiated evidence.
Right.
Or people you could really trust. To go with it, right? Because it would have been really putting yourself out there if you said, yeah, LeBron's coming to Miami. Because like nobody thought that was possible till like the day of.
And then Stephen A. Smith said it in like everyone.
Right, because he said it, and then it was like later that night when we actually found out.
Yeah, before, I'm going to say 3 days, I get a phone call. Because the guy, at the time, I had my own show. Mm-hmm. And the guy was a fan of the show. And so he called me up off air, and he was like, Troy, this is what's going on. And I was like, get out of here. He's telling me blow by blow. He's telling me how the night before, like, this decision was made. He talked about how the commissioner of the NBA at the time, what was his name? I forgot
David
his name. David Stern. How he was trying to persuade LeBron James to go to the Knicks at the time. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Knicks fan. I'm not just saying that. He's giving me blow by blow on this whole thing. And he was telling me, and this is to tie back into our little conversation here about LeBron and him making his decision. He was saying that LeBron James was still torn till the night before on if he was leaving Cleveland and coming to Miami. But blow by blow, he was giving me along the way. Text me, this is what's going on. We're all here at the house. We're having dinner and all of that. And I was like, nah, man, you got to be kidding me. And then he texted me. And he said, it's happening. He's coming to Miami. And I had it before, but he told me. So it wasn't like LeBron made up his decision to leave Cleveland 4 days, but he wanted to stick it to Cleveland or whatever the case may be. He was that torn about leaving Cleveland and coming to the Miami Heat. Now, that was the information that I was given. Is it true? I can only take the guy. And he's been right on.
Right. I mean, he ultimately was right.
Things along the way. So yeah. I have to take him for his word. And I just think that maybe the same thing happened when it comes to him leaving the Miami Heat.
So you think that he was deliberating over the decision to leave in 2014 or whether he would stay, that it wasn't something that he knew very far in advance. That's what the point you're trying to make?
I'm saying that's a possibility. And unless Solano could guarantee me, prove to me that he knew 4 days, 5 days, 6 days in advance because of this letter that he had put together, like,
Do you mind if I call you out on something here?
Go ahead.
We actually got some texts about this. And, I don't mean to embarrass you or this dynamic here as we're all working together, but you keep calling Solano.
Oh, I know. I've been doing it. And he doesn't correct me.
No, I don't mind.
No, I know. It happens. Just, come on. Like, you're going back and forth in this argument. You can't even get his name right.
Solano.
You got it.
It's all right.
I like Solano better. But I'll call you Solano.
Do you like...
I'm sorry, Solano.
You notice in the sports updates...
he says his name?
No, he does, but he goes by Alejandro Solana. And he says it very matter-of-factly in an accent that I still try to replicate, but I've been doing so unsuccessfully. When I try to talk to my future in-laws, I try to use that same accent that Solana brings to the table.
But the American accent comes in there?
Yes, every time. The gringo accent comes in, and it doesn't work out too well.
I can't speak another language. I could barely speak English.
Well, we're going to put that to the test, the remainder of the show here. Okay, that's Troy Stafford. I'm Greg Likens. We're in for Hawk and Crowder today. When we come back...
Solana.
There we go. Yeah, beautiful. Right. Beautiful. When we come back, there was an absolute terrific outcome yesterday.
Yes.
On the pitch, as we say in soccer or in football, over in France, as the U.S. Women's National Team won its fourth World Cup title. We're going to come back and talk about not just their accomplishment, but also the controversy that surrounded this team as well. Stay tuned here on 560 WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.